Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it's great to see everyone. We're slowly coming back. Amen. And again, I want to say, if you're listening on the website, please feel free to stay home as long as you feel comfortable. But amen. I want to give a small plug. Well, two plugs, actually. If you missed last Sunday, I would encourage you. Darius got the message, the service on our website. I think I emailed it to most everyone, but if he wasn't here and you missed it, please, because Pete shared he and Marianne's struggle and victory and whatever we can call it with the coronavirus last week, and it was very powerful, wasn't it? It was very powerful. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that, please, take a little, and listen to the message. Amen. So we're gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's pray before we get going. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray a special blessing this morning as you teach us, as you give us instruction. I ask you to help me teach and preach this. I pray for the ears to hear, whether it's in our sanctuary here or on the internet or whatever. Lord, I just pray for the folks to hear this. Lord, I also pray for all of our church family that's maybe still sick or not feeling well or staying home for safety reasons or traveling or going about. I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you'll bless them, you'll heal them, you'll keep them safe until we can all gather back together again. Whenever that time comes, we'll leave that up to you and we'll trust you on all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. So let's all stand, and let's read God's Word, if you will. There, you might have it up there. Yep. So here we go. I'm going to read all of chapter 2, so hang with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And there we go. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Kind of sounds like Billy Graham, don't it? It's kind of like all he ever preached. At work, though, Anyway, sorry. Verse 3. As I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom from God, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I kind of like that. How about that? Is it standing up too much? Good deal. So this morning we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. And this is going to be a brief summary. A brief summary, okay? When we talk about God the Father, it's a little bit easier for us to understand the concept of a father. When we talk about God the Son, it's also a little bit easier for us to understand the concept of a son, right? Would you agree with that? But what happens when we say God the Spirit? You know, what happens? What do we kind of feel, think when we say God the Holy Spirit? It is an unusual thing that people don't talk about it like that too much. You see, people can understand something they see or something they know, but we all know the Holy Spirit, we really can't see him. And so this makes it kind of difficult for some people to really understand who the Holy Spirit is. So we're gonna touch on that a little bit this morning. Now, we know the Holy Spirit really is God. He is not an it. Okay? But a person of the Godhead. He is inside of every believer. The Holy Spirit does what Jesus was doing over 2,000 years ago. Jesus' main ministry on earth was to teach the things of the Father. And he said that many times, didn't he? Okay? He explained the law. He showed people their sin and brought comfort to those who believed. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Well, I know that he leads us and guides us and gives us comfort and, you know, corrects us and rebukes us and he's our counselor and friend and that kind of thing. But the biggest role of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the words of Christ. Okay? He is actively doing Jesus' work here on the earth through his indwelling of his children. The Holy Spirit indwells us and he fills us. And he reminds us of what Christ said. He reminds us of the Word of God. If you're born again, he lives on the inside of you. Amen. That's reassuring. He cleans out the unwanted parts of us. He fills us with power for the ones who allow him. And we all know it's a difficult world out there right now, isn't it? Well, really, honestly, it's always been a difficult world. You know, really, you know, from the beginning of time, pretty much, you know, for the fall of man, it's been sort of a difficult world. But right now in our generation, you know, we have this crisis thing going on. And if we allow the Holy Spirit, he'll work in us to keep our footing. He'll work within us to help us stand firm in our faith. See? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit right then. As I said before, God's Spirit is inside every believer all the time. He said he'd never leave us and never reject us, never forsake us. To be filled with the Spirit, to be indwelt with the Spirit, we don't have to have some earth-shaking experience. We don't really have to have some great move. And we don't have to jump and shout and cry and roll on the floor and run around like some of my buddies. I got Christian friends. That's okay. That's their thing, you know. But we really don't have to do that or experience that to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What we have to do is believe. Believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and fills us and baptizes us. At that moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit establishes a relationship with us and God. But this really is only the beginning of his work. The Holy Spirit marks us. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit marks us as belonging to God. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Listen closely to this scripture. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Listen closely as I read. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Wow. That's deep, isn't it? I mean, basically, when you trusted in the gospel of your salvation, you trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and you placed your faith and you believed this, the Holy Spirit sealed you right then. For a week or two or a month or a couple years or till you mess up? No. The Bible says guaranteed until the redemption of the purchased possession. And we all know what that means, right? I think most of you guys are pretty mature in the Lord. We've been bought with a price. Remember all that? We'll talk about that in a minute. But until the day, the Holy Spirit is our seal of salvation. This is proof that we are His sons and daughters. This is eternal proof that we've been adopted into the family of God. That's so motivating for me. Every time I think about that or study anything about that, knowing that I was adopted into the family of God and I was sealed by the Holy Spirit until that day I turned into a human space shuttle. I'll be out of here, man. Y'all come on with me. I'm sure most of you will, right? The Holy Spirit becomes our direct line to the Father. And this is all through what Jesus did. This through Jesus, right? Through Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit becomes our direct line with the Father. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and the need for holy and righteous living. In John 16:8, He teaches us to obey the Lord and to trust Him to direct our steps. Just like we talked about last week. And to put all of our cares, everybody say all. To put all of our cares on Him. But He cares for us. He is greater than any of the problems that we're going through in life. Trust Him. The Holy Spirit also helps us to know God. The Holy Spirit also helps us to know God. Ephesians 1 again, 17 and 18. Let me quote it. Let me read it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance to the saints? Now this is all encouraging and motivating. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals to us who God is. And He helps us kind of begin just a little bit to begin to understand the mind of God. I mean, you know, we're talking about beginning steps of understanding the mind of God. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the Bible. We can't even understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. We cannot understand the things of God without the Holy Spirit. As the Word says, we need those spiritual eyes in our hearts in order to see God and His ways, to be able to see it clearly. Amen? You see, that's when we begin to understand the mind of God. No, no, just take that for a grain of salt, right? Obviously, we can't understand God's mind, but we begin that process of kind of understanding how He thinks and how He believes, right? Because of the Word of God. He begins to help us in our daily walk. You see, the more we want to know Him, The more we want to know him, the more he wants to reveal himself to us through his word. One of the most important things the Holy Spirit does for us is to help us learn the ways of God. Now, I'm going to say this here. Now, listen closely to this one, because I think this is very, very important. The Holy Spirit teaches us to think like God by thinking like the Scriptures. I'm going to say that again, so don't take that out of context, all right? The Holy Spirit teaches us to think like God by thinking like Scripture. In other words, as we mature as Christian believers and we begin to mature, we slowly begin to think like the Word of God. Something comes up in our life. You know, before you're saved, it was like, how can I rob a bank, or when you think crazy stuff, but you get saved, born again, you begin to mature in Christ, and then pretty soon a problem comes up in our lives, and we begin to think the Word of God. You know, what does the Bible say about that? You know, you even get to the point where it's not even about what does the Bible say about that. It's about internally inside of you. You begin to think Scripture, and then you begin to what? Act it out. You begin to walk it out. Amen? Does everybody see that? When our thoughts begin to line up with God's thoughts, that's when powerful things begin to happen in our lives and around our lives. Not just in our lives, but around us too. Very powerful things begin to happen. Our priorities begin to change. Our beliefs begin to change. Our friends begin to change. Our places we hang out begin to change. The things that we do begins to change. See, before Christ, it was all about me. What do I want to do? What's good for me? What do I think? I'm going to tell you a quick little story. Y'all know where I work, you know, that kind of thing. We have these little guys called servant leaders. And they're guys that have graduated our program. They stay longer, maybe 6 months. We have one servant leader now. He is in his early 60s. I mean, textbook alcoholic. Can't get it right. Keeps in and out. He's a really nice guy when he's not drinking. Anybody know anybody like that? He's a really nice guy when he's not drinking. But, you know, he hasn't had anything to drink in 8 or 10 months. And he's sit right back there before. And he's a really nice guy. He's 63, I think. And I see him as staying and helping us for a long time. He has a life of significance, you know, value, worth. I watch him mentor the young guys. And he's like a daddy to some of them, and he's just a hard worker and doing great. Come in my office the other day, and he says, "Dallas, I think I'm going to leave." Really? It's the third time we've been down this road. Anyway. The point is, I said, why? And this is what he said to me. It kind of blew me away, but it was right along with this message. He said, "Dallas," he said, "I think I got about everything I can get here." Y'all see that? You see with your spiritual eyes what he just told me? Somebody tell me. Yeah, exactly. He says, "I think I've got about all I can get while I'm here." And I looked him straight in the eyes. I said his name. Jesus, help me. And if he's listening, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about you. Because the guys listen to my messages at the campus. So that's okay. It's a big seed planted. I said, "Man, dude," I said, "it's not about you. It's not about you. And it's not about us. It's not about you. You turn that completely around. What can you do for these guys here? How can you help? How can you follow the Lord? You know, your servant leader, you know, you're here to serve. You've been serving yourself the whole time, I guess, you know. It's not about us. It's not about what we can get, right? So if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit and really following the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit will lead us into serving and helping others and doing things. It's not about us. He ain't like that. You know, anyway, he'll be all right. Just keep coming back. When we surrender to Christ, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. This is a very true biblical principle. We belong to God. And, if that Christian has a lot of pride still in them, or ego, you know, whatever, they have a difficult time with that. Or if they got rebellion in them, if you have rebellion still stirring up in you, they have a difficult time with that. When we surrender to Christ, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to God. We've been bought with a price and we're no longer our own. It's bondservant stuff, isn't it? You see, we have a new family when we become a Christian. We have a new father. And we have a new master. We use the word Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. Is he? Really? You know, that word Lord, if we look it up, you know, that means what? Did I do that right? We bow. You know, we bow to the Lord and we are obedient to him. You know, that we're willing to listen, to follow instruction. Basically, you know, I'm the servant now. Your wish is my command kind of thing, you know, like, what do you have me to do? That's what that word means. See, the people in the world, they still have a father and a master of the world. As believers, we no longer have that father. We no longer have that master of the world. And Jesus cleared that really, he cleared that up big time. In John 8, verses 44a, he's talking to the Pharisees, you know, putting them in their place and trying to spend some time talking to them. Jesus said this. He was talking to the Pharisees. He says, listen to how it's worded too. You are of your father, the devil. Whew, that's pretty strong, isn't it? He looked straight at them Pharisees and says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Wow. That's deep, isn't it? Jesus said it again in John 14:30 in a little different way. He was talking to him again. He says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing to do with me. The ruler means Lord, you know. So we're talking about the father of this world, the ruler, the Lord of this world, the master of this world. It's Satan. It's the devil. Anyway, I got a whole message I could preach, but I'll leave that alone. Everybody say amen? The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom beyond our natural abilities as we learn to listen to him. How? How is this? We just read it in the scripture earlier, because now we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? I mean, God just didn't come in and work on our frontal lobe and, you know, any of that kind of stuff, right? Our neocortex and our midbrain. No, the mind of Christ is what? The mind of Christ, it's God's Holy Spirit in us and his spoken word. This is the mind of Christ. This is really what that's talking about. It's talking about the Holy Spirit within us interpreting and teaching us through God's spoken word. Anything else outside of that, you need to run from. Reject it. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about getting good, sound advice from other people. I'm saying, is there any other type of teaching or religion or anything like that that's you know, outside of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of you? I encourage you to run from that. James chapter 3, we're almost finished. James chapter 3, verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above And listen closely. He's talking about the wisdom from above. The wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I encourage you to go and study that one. James tells us if we allow ourselves to be totally immersed in God, to focus on His thoughts, which is His Word, we can do powerful things in this world. I really believe that. Powerful things. Now, the Holy Spirit also helps us to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now, some of you might know this. I'm going to say it anyway. Glad Miss Arlene's not here. She get on to me. But that word groanings, if you look it up, that's New Testament, so it's Greek. Look it up in the Greek, and it's real simple. It's like so clear. It's like one word. That word groaning means to sigh. Oh, man. You ever just something come to you, or you see something in the magazine, or see something on TV, or you hear a story or something, and you just make a sigh? Just like, man. And you stop for a minute and just kind of think about the Lord. Sometimes things will come to me and I don't even really know what to pray for. I just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That sigh. Anybody ever done that before? Raise your hand. Just like, man, oh, Lord. You're not even really saying any words. You're just throwing out, ah, Lord, Jesus, you know, help them. Or whatever. It is that sigh. That's what it means. That groaning is that sigh. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit praying when we don't really know what to pray. I think I mentioned it before. There's been several times I've been on the floor, you know, in my living room, crying, just crying out to the Lord, just crying because of this or that or that or this. And I believe that during those times the Holy Spirit is praying for me or the situation that we're in or, right, or somebody else is in, those kind of things. The Holy Spirit helps us know what to pray for and can bring God's power into the lives of those that we care about through intercession. Amen. The Spirit seeks to bring greater joy and glory to God Almighty. Bring glory to Him. Now, He gives gifts to whomever He will for the purpose of bringing glory to God. The Spirit gives us power to see God's purpose for our life. God has called each of us to follow Him. He has given each of us a purpose, and He's given us hope. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and comfort us. The Holy Spirit, and this is the last thing, the Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are in Christ. Which again, goes along with this song that they picked out. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are in Christ. Bear with me because I'm going to read these. We are, everybody say we are. We are God's children, Christ's friend, united with the Lord, bought with a price, a member of the body of Christ. A believer set apart for God, established, anointed, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, a citizen of heaven, a salt and light of the earth, assured that all things work together for God. We are God's temple. We are seated with God in heavenly realms. We are redeemed and forgiven. We are a personal witness of Christ. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. We cannot be separated from God's love. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We're a branch of the true vine, and we are sons and daughters of God. In short, we belong to God. Nothing can separate us from His grace. Nothing can separate us from His love. I love this verse, and I'll close with this. John 10:28-30. Here it is. This is Jesus talking. John 10:28-30. Jesus says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Wow. I want to encourage you guys to rest in that. Rest in that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. That you're with us. You'll never leave us. We give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.